Thus 3 years passed, and in that time Turin came seldom to Thingol's halls, and he cared no longer for his looks or his attire, but his hair was unkempt, and his mail covered with a grey cloak stained with the weather. But it chanced, in the third summer after Turin's departure, when he was 20 years old, that desiring rest and needing smith work for the repair of his arms, he came unlooked for to Menegroth, and went one evening into the hall. Thingol was not there, for he was abroad in the greenwood with Melian, as was his delight at times in the high summer. Turin took a seat without heed, for he was way-worn and filled with thought, and by ill luck he set himself at a board among the elders of the realm, and in that place where Cyros was accustomed to sit. Cyros, entering late, was angered, believing that Turin had done this in pride and with intent to affront him, and his anger was not lessened to find that Turin was not rebuked by those that sat there, but was welcomed as one worthy to sit among them. For a while, therefore, Cyros feigned to be of like mind, and took another seat, facing Turin across the board. "Seldom does the March Warden favour us with his company," he said, "and I gladly yield my accustomed seat for the chance of speech with him." But Turin, who was in converse with Mablung the hunter, did not rise, and said only a curt, "I thank you." Cyros then plied him with questions concerning the news from the borders and his deeds in the wild. But though his words seemed fair, the mockery in his voice could not be mistaken. Then Turin became weary, and he looked about him and knew the bitterness of exile. And for all the light and laughter of the elven halls, his thought turned to Beleg and their life in the woods, and thence far away to Morwen in Dorlomin in the house of his father. And he frowned because of the darkness of his thoughts, and made no answer to Cyros. At this, believing the frown aimed at himself, Cyros restrained his anger no longer, and he took out a golden comb and cast it on the board before Turin, crying, "Doubtless, man of Hithlum, you came in haste to this table, and may be excused your ragged cloak. But there is no need to leave your head untended as a thicket of brambles, and maybe if your ears were uncovered, you would heed better what is said to you." Turin said nothing, but turned his eyes upon Cyros, and there was a glint in their darkness. But Cyros did not heed the warning, and returned the gaze with scorn, saying for all to hear, "If the men of Hithlum are so wild and fell, of what sort are the women of that land? Do they run like the deer, clad only in their hair?"